Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, November 14th, 2011. 2011, how are you? What's going on? I'm back. I am, and I'm not better than ever. I'm the same mediocre jackass you ever met. Can you guys hear the echo in this room? Hey! Cool it! I gotta get some stuff. I got to do something, put a mattress on the fucking wall. Anyways, I am back out here in Los Angeles. This is the first time I've been back for an extended period of time in my new domicile out here since I can fucking remember. I was actually thinking since October 16th, I have been on 15 different airplanes. And I, for one, am a little sick of it. This podcast sucks. This podcast sucks so far. You know why it is? Because I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm trying to adjust where I'm going to sit. Oh, fucking cunt. Just dropped it. There we go. Is that better? Well, listen, you know what the good thing is? You know what's the great thing about having a fucking train wreck is, as bad as it is to listen to, on some level, it has to make you guys feel better about your lives, doesn't it? You know, well, shit, at least if, I mean, I don't do a podcast, but if I were to do it, there would be some sort of preparation. All right, I got nothing but good news this week, everybody. Nothing but good, nothing. You did nothing. I got nothing but good news this week. All right, first things first. For your cute little Monday morning podcast ears, I went out and I figured out what the fucking problem was. It was a simple thing. I just had a problem with the wire. And I went out and I bought, just went to Guitar Center and I alleviated the problem because I went out and I, rather than buying the little douchey $8 cord, you know, like my parents just bought me a ukulele for my 12th birthday and I have a rock and roll dream, you know? So then I go out and I buy the cheapest shit to plug into an amp. Instead, I went out and said, fuck that. Give me the $100 one. Give me the one Jimmy Page uses when he plays those guys' music and then doesn't give them credit for it. Give me that one. I want that one. So I got that one, so now we're good. All right, the levels should be fine. Everything should be fine. And if you don't like it, I suggest you pack up your little fucking iPod or whatever you listen to this thing on, and you just get the fuck out of my podcasting world. What do you think about that? Very hostile, Bill. Very hostile for someone who has nothing to bitch about. Yeah. I don't. I have nothing to complain about. I basically just wrapped the most unbelievable fucking month of my life. You know? I don't think there's going to be any comedy on this one, everybody. I am fucking ecstatic. All right? I got a brand new website, everybody. And of course, I went to go on it, and I can't get on it. But it should be up by the time you listen to this. Or maybe it's my computer. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I got one of these laptops that's like, I don't know, at this point it's almost 3 years old, which is basically, it's basically the laptop equivalent of like a 47-year-old stripper. You know, it's still doing the job, it still looks all right, you know, it still can do the little tricks. Can go on the internet, can fucking drop down to a split and bring that booty right back up again, you know? But it's tired. I can see it. It's got little varicose veins on the side of the plastic. It's just, it's had its time. And I feel bad for it. Never found love. It always said that it was only going to be a laptop for like, you know, a year, year and a half. And then it was going to go back to school and become a fucking iPad or some shit. But it didn't. It's just become a cliched laptop. And what am I going to do with it? You know, I'd love to donate it to a school, but some of the porn I've looked at, I don't need that. I don't need to send that over to kids and then all of a sudden it comes back to me. I don't need that. So you know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to throw it in the fucking trash. It's going to end up in that cesspool of shit out there in the middle of the ocean. You know, that's 2 miles deep and twice the size of Texas. And some flounder's going to swim right through it. And year, fucking months later, I'm going to be eating some sushi. You know, thinking I'm being healthy, what am I doing? I'm eating my old fucking laptop with a side of rollerblades, a couple of Beanie Babies with my edamame. That's what's out there in the ocean. You guys realize that? It's all those fucking fads you forgot about. Remember those Razor scooters? Huh? When was the last time you saw one of those? Where is it? Maybe that's in your garage. That'd be a good thing to hold on to. That was sort of made out of a precious metal. Maybe that's something you could melt down during some sort of zombie crisis and make a sword. You know? Could you get away from a zombie with a scooter? All you fucking nerds out there who are into that type of shit. If you had a little Razor scooter, could you do it? What if you dropped your glasses, you fucking sci-fi douche? Then what would you do? That would be hilarious, watching you squint down the street. You already know you're uncoordinated if you're a nerd. If you're into sci-fi, this is one of the truest statements I'm ever going to make. If you're into sci-fi, you have no hand-eye coordination, you know? That's why the football players always threw shit at your head. It's not because they were assholes. It's because they knew you didn't have the ability to send some sort of signal to your fucking hands to get them up in time. Or at least get them in the right position. That's why they did it. You know? Why don't you step outside your little bullied self, and just realize that, you know, yes, it was your head. Yes, it was your childhood. But as a man, be honest, is there anything funnier than seeing somebody with a bad haircut take some sort of object to the side of the head at about 30, 35 miles an hour? There's just nothing funnier than that, you know? In a lot of ways, all these fucking nerds who are getting bullied, it's their fault. It's not even their fault. It's their parents' fault. What are you doing? You went to school. Let's say you're a nerd, right? And you went out, you found some other nerdy broad at some nerdy fucking event, right? And then you guys, you fucking went in the corner and you, I don't know what you did. You were so excited that another human being liked you that you forgot to put on a condom. And next thing you know, 9 months later, you got yourself another little nerd. All right? And you love the little bastard. He looks just like, came out of the womb wearing glasses. This is your seed. All right? Now, if you've been bullied and you got the living shit kicked out of you, that's not something you ever fucking forget. Okay? You don't ever forget that. You sit back, you analyze it. You talk to a higher power. Why me? Why was I born this way? Why am I the guy? How come I can't catch anything in gym class? Why am I required to still go? The fucking dumb jock. Well, you know why? Because the dumb jock still has to go to science class. All right? Another problem. Another question answered in my own fucking head. All right? So anyways, you remember all those beatdowns. And you have all those fucking fantasies about going in there. Jeremy Spoken. Right? And doing something fucking crazy. But you don't. What do? You say, fuck this. I'm going out in the fucking world. In my douchey little nerdy card, I'm going to find other nerds and we're going to get together. And we're going to start a computer company. Right? And then we'll sit in the lotus position. Hugging it because it's our friend. Because it was never mean to us. Because it could take us to space and beyond. I really don't know where I'm going with this. Just buckle up. Shut the fuck up. All right. Where am I? Oh, going to space and beyond. And then you became a success, right? Then you went to Comic-Con. You finally got your dick wet. Now you got a fucking nerd-ass kid. So here's my question to you, nerd dad. Daddy nerd. Big daddy nerd. Let me ask you a fucking question. How do you forget to not send your kid to school looking like a spaz? How do you forget? Get up some contacts. Comb his fucking hair. Just fucking try to see what the other kids are wearing and put him in that uniform. Give him the best fucking chance he possibly has to not get the shit kicked out of him. That's the problem. That's the problem with these fucking nerds. They don't learn anything from their childhood. The same way the fucking football player douche, right? He goes out and goes and bangs some chick named Debbie who never wore panties, you know, but she had pom-poms, so she's a good catch, right? He goes out, just drops a fucking load right in her. 9 months later, right? Now they got some little douche, right? Coming out of the womb, already looking like he's wearing shoulder pads. He's all ready to start picking on some little spaz, you know? Same way a football player doesn't learn anything. Why would he learn anything? He had a great fucking time, you know? As you were at home jerking off the cheerleaders, he was actually fucking them. For all you know, if he gained enough yards, he might have banged one of your teachers. It happens. So all I'm saying is all this talk in the news about bullying, okay, it shouldn't be done, blah, 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 and all this type of shit. You know, where is your responsibility as a fucking parent to not send your kid to school, to avoid sending your kid to school with please beat the shit out of me clothes? You know? Oh, my God. I remember one time I went to school, right? I came from a big family, you know? This is, you know, my mom did the laundry, but this is before the whole fucking eye washer and eye dryer. You can just fucking just rooty toot toot and get the whole fucking thing done in 2 seconds. Back in the day, yeah, you had to scrub it down by the brook, hang it by a tree, and then pack your muskets so some fucking Davy Crockett-looking douche wouldn't come by and steal it. No, we didn't have a dryer, so we used to hang it between the trees, but we had a washer. We had a washer. So anyways, I was running out of fucking clothes, you know, and I was down to the last, I think I told this story before, right? I was down to the last two fucking things I had in my closet. One was a fucking button-down shirt that my grandmother got me. It was like fucking somewhere between baby blue and the fucking in West Hollywood. That was the color of it, right? It was basically the Seinfeld puffy shirt before Seinfeld. It didn't have the ruffles in the front, but it just, it was really, there was no reason to ever wear this shirt unless you were on stage playing the hero in some sort of pirate movie. Put it that way, all right? Very, very puffy sleeves. Popeye could have fit his arm in there, no problem. A lot of people don't know that. That's why Popeye didn't wear button-down shirts, because he was a sailor, you know? If he was a pirate, he could have wore those puffy ones, and his forearms would have fit. Maybe he was a pirate. Anyways, so I was down in that fucking ugly-ass goddamn grandmother's shirt. And I swear to God, all I had left was this pair of, they were pinkish-orange two-tone slacks. I know that sounds gay as hell, but it was the 70s. There was two pairs of them. One was light blue, and then the other one was this rusty orange, but definitely pink going on in them. And they basically, the pants were dark. The legs of the pants were dark, but the pockets on the back were dark blue. The legs of the pants were dark blue, and the back pockets were a lighter blue. And I think up around the waist, there was another design, you know, at the top of my fucking little 8-year-old booty crack was another little light blue design. I swear to God, it was designed by a pedophile somewhere in France, where evidently it's legal. So anyways, but even that pair was in the wash. So I had the rusty orange pinkish version of those pants with this sky blue fucking pirate shirt. And I was sitting there. I was just old enough to realize that it might have been a problem, but just young enough to be too stupid to fake sick and not go to school. So I said, I don't know about this. I was looking at it, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to be all right. Fuck it, right? And then I put on like a pair of dirty, like Adidas Dragons or something. I went to school. And I knew I was in trouble the second I got off the bus. And my friends were looking at me, and they were just looking me up and down, and they were trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. I'm trying to play it off. But I had my coat on at this point, so you can only see a little bit of my shirt, but you could definitely see these fucking two-tone pink pants. And they were just going, whoa. I was in the fourth grade, so one kid asked me if I had a date. Long story short, it was the longest fucking day of my life. People who I thought were my friends immediately became people I never spoke to again for at least another 2 weeks, which is like 9 years when you're in fourth grade. And it was one of the worst fucking days I ever had in my life. All right? And this is the thing about the parents and nerds. They fucking send their kids to school like that every fucking day. How do you forget? Let's say you don't know shit about fashion. Just get them a fucking pair, 3-4 pairs of fucking jeans, some sort of blue. Get them some black, gray, some fucking manly goddamn colors. All right? And just tell him to keep his fucking mouth shut. Just go, look, don't bring up that fucking Star Trek shit to the football players. Keep your fucking head down. I swear to God. If I had some nerdy little kid, that's what I would do, all right? And if some fucking kid ever kicked the shit out of my kid, I would send my nerd to a goddamn CIA jiu-jitsu Israeli fucking martial arts school, all right? I'd send him there in a little dog cage, and I wouldn't give a shit how much he cried, and even though it would break my heart watching his glasses fog up, it's like, dude, you know, this is going to happen to you every fucking day. I'm doing you a favor, all right? You're going to be the one scientist in the world that knows how to fight, okay? And then meanwhile, I would go out. I'd go to a local sporting goods store, and I'd buy a BB gun. And I would drive over to the kid's house that beat up my kid, and I'd shoot his dad in the neck from across the street. I might shoot at all of them. Might go up in a tree and just keep them pinned down for a while. Although I don't know if you can do that now that the age of cell phones is around. That's another reason why cell phones suck. It's also hard. It's so hard to have a conversation with somebody now because they're always looking at the text messages and shit, right? But now, not only that, because of cell phones, you've completely eliminated all possibilities, unless you just don't care about getting caught, of pinning down another family with a BB gun from a tree across the street, you know? I'm telling you, people, how many more freedoms are we going to lose in this country before somebody steps up and does something? You know, it's funny. I'm laying on the floor right now, and I have my head up against the wall, and my bald spot on the back of my head is making my head really cold. Oh, aging. Isn't it fun? So anyways, listen to this fucking week. Let's just go over my fucking last couple of weeks. This is how fucking insane my life has been. All right? I went to London. Did a show there. Copenhagen, Oslo, Helsinki. Stockholm, Sweden. I fly home. We stop in Zurich, Switzerland, so I get to look at the Swiss Alps. Granted, out of my little fucking porthole of a window. Actually, I was sitting in the middle of the plane. It was one of those giant planes where they have like three sections. I was in the aisle in the middle. And this fucking goddamn lady wouldn't get her big fucking head out of the way. But I still saw him. Flew home. Then I'm like, all right, I'm going to rest up for a week here before I go back to New York and do the whole Carnegie thing. And then what happens? Out of the blue, I get a call. Somebody dropped out. I got to do panel for the first time on the Jimmy Fallon show. By the way, thank you to everybody on the Jimmy Fallon show. And if there's any music geeks out there, I forget the name of it. The song that they played, The Roots played when I came out. I had actually heard of it before and forgot about it. It was actually a song Bill Cosby wrote. Like some sort of, I don't know. He's into jazz. I don't know. I never really watched that show. But I wanted to hear it because I was so like when I walked out, you know, the first time you do stand-up on a late-night show, it's like you dreamed it because there's so much shit you're taking in. You're already dealing with, oh, my God, what if I bomb on national TV? Then you walk out, and then there's a bunch of cameras. There's the band. There's the host. And then behind all of this, the cameras, is this studio audience. And they're totally amped up, and they laugh, and they clap in weird places. I don't know why, but they do. So you got to do that. So you got to do like two or three of them before you start to get used to that. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm doing panel. This is going to be, this will be easy. I don't have to fucking, I got another person to bounce stuff off of, blah, 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 blah. But even that, came out. And it took me a couple of minutes to get going, I thought, or whatever. It took me a minute and a half to kind of feel it out. And I'm like, all right, there's the band over there. There's Jimmy. Those are my shoes. That's the crowd. How do I do this? Who do I look at? And I don't know. Then I kind of figured it out about a minute and a half in. So anyway, so I got to do that. That was a little sidetrack there. So I get to do that shit. Right? Do my little Midwest tour. Come back. Oh, wait, and then I did Opie and Anthony, and it just so happens when I do Opie and Anthony, I go in there 2 days. One day I go in there, Tony Iommi comes in from Black Sabbath. I got to ask him a couple questions about John Bonham's bass drum technique. He didn't know, but I still got to ask him. And then 2 days later, Ace Frehley came in from Kiss. Got to shoot the shit with him. You know? Found out his last name isn't Frehley, it's Frehley. And that's why it was Frehley's Comet, like Haley's Comet. Opie figured that out. Never knew that shit. Fly back fucking home, come back again, and I get to do Carnegie Hall. I do Carnegie Hall. Then I fucking, the next day I go up to Boston, perform at my old college. They give me some sort of award for being comic of the 617 area code, right? But I'll take it. And then Comics Come Home just happened to be up the street. And they said, hey, somebody dropped out. Why don't you come by? So I fucking went up there and I did that. Oh, by the way, Robert Kelly. Bobby! What's going on, dude? Bobby Kelly. Robert motherfucking Kelly fucking destroyed on the Comics Come Home. Absolutely fucking destroyed. It was like he wasn't even doing his act. It was like hanging out with Bobby in a fucking whatever, coffee shop or whatever. He was just, he was fucking, it's the funniest I've ever seen him. I was dying laughing. Then I was like, oh fuck, I gotta go on after this. So then anyways, then I'm flying home. Okay, and I'm thinking, all right, the Patriots, they're gonna lose to the Jets. They're going to fucking lose. This, our defense is horrific. Our offensive line hasn't been able to block anybody lately. All these douches. I got to text them somebody. Yeah, the Steelers finally figured out Brady. Oh, did you figure out that if he's on his back, he can't throw a fucking pass, you jackass? Did you figure out that if he has a shit defense and if he's sitting on the sidelines for 17 minutes with his teeth chattering because he hasn't thrown a ball in like 20 minutes, that's going to fuck with his timing? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I get it. I understand why you guys are sending. I see through all your emails. All you're saying is, I'm so psyched after a decade of getting ass raped by that good-looking son of a bitch with the fucking supermodel wife. I'm so glad we finally put him on his back. I get it. I know what you guys are going through. I dealt with fucking Dan Marino. That tanned-up, glove-wearing son of a bitch used to come up every fucking time, kick our ass. And then you go down, we go down to the Orange Bowl, and he'd be even more tan, looking like Tony Curtis back there with his fucking Dennis Miller mullet, and he'd be just killing us. I know what you're going through. So I'm sitting there, I'm getting on the flight like a fucking asshole. I thought the Patriots-Jets game was a 1 o'clock game, so I got myself a 5 o'clock flight. And I ended up realizing as I went down there that it was the 8 o'clock game. And I had a six-hour flight. And basically, I was going to land with like fucking 5 minutes to go. So I'm like, ah, Jesus Christ. You know something? They're going to get their asses kicked. I just don't believe in their defense. I mean, I think we can go up against, you know, 8-8 teams and below and put on a good performance, but I don't see us doing well against the top teams. And despite the Jets' record, you know, they still got a great defense, and they did go to the AFC Championship 2 times in a row. They fucking been there. That's why I knew they were going to kick the Bills' ass last week. They fucking been there. They got too much experience, and I was just like, ah, fuck. Well, at least I don't have to sit there and age 20 years watching this game. And I figured when I landed, everybody was going to be sending me these text messages saying that the fucking Patriots got their asses kicked, and fuck Tom Brady, it's fucking over, 2 New York teams in a row, And when I landed, I'm not even going to lie to you, I was absolutely stunned that they were winning by the level that they are winning. So I am not going to talk shit because, as you heard on my podcast last week, I did not have any faith. And I thought that we were going to lose, not only lose to them, I thought the Jets were going to win the division. All right? So if I were to go on the podcast this week and start talking shit, you know what that would make me? That would make me like a fucking Yankees fan. Like all those cunts who I didn't hear from until fucking, you know, since game 3 of 2004. And then the Red Sox choke and they all crawl out of their fucking holes. And then the next week they lose to the Tigers in the first round. And then they disappear again. I don't want to be that guy. So I'm absolutely stunned. The level. Fucking defense played unbelievable. All of a sudden we had a pass rush. What happened there? The Jets have some sort of injury on their offensive line? I couldn't fucking believe it. So, anyways, so I really have nothing to complain about. Everything has just totally worked. I'm almost like, I've had such a great month, I'm afraid to walk out of my house feeling as though a piano is going to fall on my head just to balance shit out. So, which brings us to Carnegie Hall that I sort of glanced over. And I don't know how to do this. I guess there was some funny shit happened. But I got to tell you, I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. First of all, that ever came to one of my comedy shows, that sat there while I sucked and tried to figure out how to become a comedian. All the way back to 92, right up to everybody who came out to Carnegie Hall last Friday night. It was, without a doubt, the greatest thing experience I've ever had as a... since I've been in this business. There's no other way. It was absolutely indescribable. I can't even fucking explain it. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I stopped looking at the names of the people who'd performed there because it was freaking me out. So this is a funny thing. I get Verzi! I got Verzi to open for me, and I had the sensation in the middle. The teen idol sensation, Joe DeRosa from the Opie and Anthony program. Just back from an extended tour in Malibu. He was resting up. He was suffering from exhaustion. So anyway, so I go in and, you know, they got all these rules there because this is like Carnegie Hall. That all these rules. I had a photographer there, but the photographer couldn't go on the stage. And there was just all these fucking rules. So I went in there, like, almost on my heels. Like, I don't want to piss anybody off in here. And I walked in there, and they said, okay, you're up in the Maestro's suite. Like, if you headline that place, they put you in a place called the Maestro's suite. So I go all the way up there. I'm with family and friends. I go up there. And I feel like I'm going to get in trouble. Like, I'm describing, like, the fucking seventh floor of the Pentagon here. So I walk in there and, there's this piano, this piano in this giant, like this big room. And then there's another room with the classic I'm in showbiz lights going all around the mirror. And then they have all these composers' headshots all around the Maestro suite, and they're all autographed. And, immediately I felt like I didn't deserve to be there because not only were they these famous conductors, I didn't know who any of them were. I was sitting there looking at them like, oh, yeah, rubbing my chin. Leonard Bernstein was the only one I noticed, the only one that I recognized. And I just tried to fucking take it in. And then they said, hey, you want to go downstairs and look at the stage? And I said, absolutely. And I walked down, took us down the elevator. And they opened the door to go out to the stage. And all you see is the most well-lit stage you've ever seen in your life. I'm just looking through a door, the average size door that you open. And I'm about 20 feet away when they opened it. So I could see part of the stage and like a sliver of the front row seats. And then like all like three balconies going up. And it was, I'm not even gonna lie, it was fucking, took my breath away. And I said, holy shit. And I immediately apologized for cursing because that's how nice this place. Like, I wasn't going to go out there and say fuck every other word when I do my horse shit of an act. And I walked out there, and it's indescribable. Absolutely fucking indescribable. And I don't even know why I'm bringing it up. I can't even describe it. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like I was in Pulp Fiction and I got to see what was in that briefcase. It was like it was like at that level. I can't even put words into it. So then I go back up to the Maestro's suite. I just like saying that. So I'm sitting up there and I'm like, hey, is Verzi and DeRosa here yet? And they're like, yeah, they're downstairs. I go, well, get them up here because I'm not fucking going to be sitting up here looking at these old fucking silver haired guys. Composers just look angry in their pictures. They just got that fucking look on their face. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, they didn't really want to be a composer, but their parents made them do it. It was just creeping me out. And they got all these fucking pictures. Anybody post-Abraham Lincoln has basically been there. I saw a picture of Mark Twain sitting down on the stage listening to somebody else speak. Teddy Roosevelt, Benny Goodman, Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, all the way through all those jazz guys to the fucking Beatles. Stevie Ray Vaughan made an album that was overwhelming. So I go, I don't even feel like I'm worthy to be here. What is going to cure this? I know. Get Paul Verzi and Joe DeRosa in the same room with me, and I'll get my confidence back. So these two jackasses come up there. All right. DeRosa is sweating and muttering to himself. Verzi is fucking pacing. All right. I'm pacing. All three of us are pacing around this room as we're talking. Isn't it amazing to be here? We're all fucking pacing. And then we just started breaking each other's balls about how nervous we were. And then we just started trying to make each other even more nervous. Like, I noticed they were nervous, and I came walking in, and I was like, you know, guys, if you're ever going to fucking bomb, tonight better not be the night. Because you're not getting this one back. This is not the fucking night to bomb. And everybody laughed, and then there was that nervous thing. Verzi's going like, hey, you know, I go out there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to treat it like Caroline's. I'm going to say what's up to people. You know, I'm going to settle in first. Then I'm going to go into my act. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So just to be a douche, I go, really? That's what you're going to do? I mean, if this is what you want to do, that's cool. I mean, I wouldn't do that. He's like, wait, what are you talking about? I go, dude, I would go right into my act. It's Carnegie Hall, man. You don't go out there and, hey, what's going on? You're going to start fucking bombing. But I want to get in your head, dude, if that's what you want to do. And he's sitting there trying to size me up for half a second, you know, and he's just like, you know, he's like, ah, go fuck yourself. We basically did that for a goddamn 45 minutes waiting to go on. I was as nervous as I was the first time I did Letterman, which was one of the most butterflies I ever had. That nervous yet excited, wanting to run out of the room yet can't waiting to go on, like that whole fucking push-pull shit going on, you know? So anyways, the show starts. Verzi goes out there and absolutely fucking kills. And then and it's fucking hilarious. He comes walking out, dude, with this fucking look on his face, you know? Like, the only thing stopped his fucking lips from going around the back of his head was his goddamn ears. Like, just like glowing. Like I can't explain it. We all look like assholes. DeRosa came off. DeRosa goes on. He goes out there and immediately starts fucking. Oh, you know what really made me relax? Verzi went up and he goes, he said something. Hey, he goes, hey, give yourselves a round of applause. Huh? Bill Burr tonight, huh? At Carnegie fucking Hall. The second he did that, I laughed and I was like, all right, fuck it. Now it's just a stand-up show. But DeRosa goes out there next and with his stupid sport coat on and everything, you know, which was making him sweat even more. And he went out there and fucking absolutely destroyed. He comes back, same stupid fucking look on his face. It actually reminded me one time I read about these divers who used to go into caves under the sea and they'd get lost and they would drown under there. And when they would find them, they'd have this ear-to-ear grin. I guess when you drown at the last second, this unbelievable level of dopamine or some shit goes through you and you get this stupid look on your face. I don't know if that's true. I don't even know where the fuck I read it. I think I read it on a flight on US Air. So that was basically you know, when it, the article made me laugh, as horrific as it was imagining somebody drowning in an underwater cave, freaking out, not knowing where they're at. But just that dumb smile on their face. It sort of was like the look people had on their face was the reverse of that movie, The Ring. Rather than your jaw dropping over and it was horrific, just imagine the polar opposite of smiling. That was basically... So DeRosa comes walking through, and he's got this fucking silly, stupid look on his face. And Verzi said he's just going to bring me right up. So I'm standing there waiting to go on, and standing a few feet behind me was Louis Ferranda from Carolines. And those guys were the ones who headlined me when I first came, you know, when I first started doing well in New York. They would headline me, and they had to pull the curtain, you know, to not make the room look so big, and only, you know, 14 people would show up, and then they drag like another 20 people, tourists off the street to come in and watch my show. So he was standing there going like, oh, I was going, Louis, go out in the crowd. He goes, no, I want to stand here and watch you go out. I want to watch you go out. Right? Which was fucking awesome. You know, Caroline's one of the biggest clubs ever. So they fucking open the door, call my name, and I walk out, and I'm not trying to be arrogant here. They were just great fans. Everybody fucking stood up as I walked out like I composed some unbelievable song. And it was fucking how I didn't just have – I know I had that big dumb grin on my face, but how I didn't just – you know, as I was waving, how I didn't just keep – just get locked in that mode and just walked right off the end of the fucking stage is beyond me. And I went in, and I can't even remember where I started with. I don't remember where I started with, and I just did my shit, and it slowly became like a show, just a regular show, where every once in a while I would just sort of going, fuck, I'm at Carnegie Hall, and then I'd be like, no, keep going, just keep going, because that was the thing. Everybody kept going, you know, make sure you take it in, you know, and that's the fucked up thing about the art of stand-up. This is like the one art where you really can't take it in. You can't, because you got to be focused on what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like as a musician, you can end the fucking song. You can step back. You can tell the story. You can look around. And then you can go into your next song. But us, it's just bam, 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 next joke. So, I don't know. I did my shit, and it just took off at like minute three, and it didn't stop for like I think I did about an hour and 15 minutes, and I never lost them. It never felt long, and I ended, and it was a standing ovation again, and it just was one of the few times in my life I just felt like this unbelievable sense of accomplishment. And it was, it was also absolutely hilarious to me. Like I didn't feel like I should, like I felt like at any second someone was going to yank me. Like it was a joke. Like I won a radio contest to go out there and then they were going to yank me off and bring like fucking some Pavarotti dude out there. So, yeah, it was awesome. And then in the end, I brought Verzi and DeRosa back out. And everyone's standing up clapping. And we're just sitting there fucking. I can't even describe it. It was awesome. And it was fucking hilarious. Like, where do you go from here? It was ridiculous. And I had this great photographer there. And he actually took photos of me and Joe as we were walking down the street afterwards. And I saw some of them. It's fucking hilarious. The absolute look of joy on our face. Two miserable comedians. Like, I swear to God, we look like we are high on, like, I don't know what. I'm not a big fucking drug guy, whatever. High on something. But it was absolutely fucking unbelievable. And I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. So I want to thank everybody who came out to the show and experienced it with me and fucking stood up and clapped, which was fucking unbelievable. I will never forget that, ever. I'll be fucking 100 years old, and I will still remember that
like it was yesterday. It was absolutely unbelievable. It's still one of the few things in my life that has not only lived up to the hype, it was like way beyond it. Like, it just fucking indescribable. Indescribable. You know? I don't know what. I have no fucking clue. I don't know where to go from here. So there's the Carnegie Hall story. All right? So once again, thank you to everybody who came out to that show. Oh, and if you're wondering, did I record that? Yes, I did. Of course I did. What do you think? I'm an asshole? I'm going to go there. I'm not going to record it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet because I didn't film it because it's Carnegie Hall and it would have cost me my life, my firstborn, to film something there. So, but to record it, the audio version was only half as much. I'm not even bullshitting you. I think I lost money that night, but I don't give a fuck. I want it documented that this jackass who flunked everything in high school somehow got to fucking do that. So this is the thing. My next stand-up special I'm going to be recording in February. The end of February, the first weekend of March is what I'm going to be doing. All right. So here's the deal. My act is constantly evolving. So my act will be 1, 2, 3, 4 months. Really? December? Yeah. 4 months older than it is now. So it will change 120 days worth. So it won't be the Carnegie thing and my special will not be the exact same. But so much of it will be the same that I'm going to figure out, you know, obviously I'm putting the DVD out. I have to figure out how I'm going to put out the Carnegie thing and when, how I'm going to do it. So it's a way where I don't feel like I'm fucking you guys over, where I'm putting out two pieces of product with essentially the same material. I actually already know how I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to tell you guys until I fucking do it, but it's going to be cool as hell. All right. So there you go. So let's get back to the podcast. After that very special moment, come on, Carnegie Hall, I had to take a step back. And I got to tell you, it was fucking awesome to share that with Verzi and DeRosa and seeing those fucking stupid, goofy looks on their face, watching them pace and be nervous and watching them fucking go out there. And they had all their family and friends and that. It was awesome. It was awesome. All right, let's get back to the goddamn podcast. So as I mentioned, I have a brand new website, everybody. For some reason, I can't get on it right now. I don't know if putting the final touches on it. I don't know if it's because it moved somewhere else. I don't know if it's because, I don't know what. You know me. I'm not good with the technology. But here's the deal. It's a fucking awesome site. It's going to be very interactive. I'm going to get the new fucking iPhone when I don't have to stand in line or fucking order it. I just want to walk in and buy it like a goddamn gentleman. All right, what is this, Russia? Go fuck yourself. I walk in, it's supposed to be there. Call me. Why don't you call me when it's there? All right? Battery's crapped out on me. Sorry about that. What was I talking about? Yeah, this isn't fucking Russia. All right? This isn't some country that I've heard you have to stand in line in. You know, I just want to walk in and get it. I'm sorry, sir. We don't have them. If you'd like to order it, we can place an order. Oh, fucking order it yourself. I don't give a shit. I actually like getting it later because then if there's a problem, other people figure it out with their wallets, you know? All these people. I like when people get like new technology like that and you can tell that they're just using it in front of you just to try and show off like you actually give a shit. So anyways, my new website, you know, if you send me Twitters or Facebooks, all that shit's going to be right there on the page. Just go to BillBurr.com. I'm sure it's up by the time you listen to this. It's up there. I got some fancy new photos up there. I got a new bio. I'm going to start blogging again. All my podcasts are going to be there. Be there so you can listen to it. It's going to be great. And this is the new me. I'm finally going to embrace this fucking technology shit. But I'm doing it my way. All right. Speaking of that, I am in Mac? I have a Word document right now, and I don't know what the fuck I did, but I hit something, and they got these little blue things after every line that I write. You know, like I got all this shit that I want to talk about, like Carnegie. I just make like a set list. Just shit. Carnegie. What do I got else up here? Rope climbing? These fucking blue things. Oh, here we go. Yeah, these fucking blue things. I don't know what it is. I write a sentence, and at the end of the sentence, there's these little blue things marking something. I want them gone. I don't know how to get rid of them. How do I get rid of them? Come on, you techie son of a bitches. Help me out here. What else did I... Oh, NeNe Leakes. You guys watch The Real Housewives of Atlanta, baby. Oh, shit, it's Real Housewives of Atlanta, baby. My girl watches that show, and there's a girl on there, this girl, NeNe Leakes. She's fucking hilarious and could probably beat the shit out of me and two of my friends at the same time. She said some shit that just fucking made me laugh my ass off this week. She went down there, right? Because I guess now she's a reality star. And judging by the way she's talking about her finances, this girl would, like, up before this show, if you gave her a George Foreman grill for her birthday, she would probably faint. Because she went in and bought her son a car, a used car, spent $13,000 on it, wrote a check. And then she started bragging about it on TV, talking about how she was rich. She goes, just bought my baby a $13,000 car. And she goes, cash money. And then she goes, hey, haters. And she starts blowing kisses at him, talking about how she's rich. It was fucking hilarious. You know, I don't know a lot about rich people, but I know there's two things they don't do. Number one, they don't use the expression cash money. And number two, even if they did, they don't fucking buy $13,000 used cars. All right? Cash money is one of those things that lets people know that you have been rich for 10 minutes. They call that new money. Not saying that I'm fucking upper crust. They'd see it through me just by the way I talk. The way I say I'm going, doing, I don't pronounce my G's. I don't know. I never took a fencing class, right? When I go to bang one of their rich daughters and go to dance with her, I don't have a handkerchief to put between my hand and her hand. I don't know how to do that, so they would see through me. But cash money, that just means you were fucking broke. Oh, my God. You know what's the dumbest thing you could do with your cash money is to go out and buy a $13,000 used car with it. Cash money. Drove it off the lot. Now it's worth $9,000 cash money. I just lost $3,000 cash money. Hey, haters. Hey. You know, it's one of my favorite dumb jokes of the year that I heard. Have you guys heard that one yet? What does a gay horse eat? Hey. It always makes me laugh. I don't know why. It just fucking makes me laugh. Anyways, let's get to the questions. But you got to watch that girl NeNe Leakes, because there's nothing funnier than watching a girl get punched in the head by another girl. Because it's brutal when a guy does it. When a girl does it, all of a sudden it's a fair fight. And you get to kind of see what in the back of your psycho head you really want to see. You know? It's NeNe Leakes is doing what as a man you would love to do to some loud mouth fucking whore who won't shut her goddamn yap, you know, but you just got to sit there and take it because she's got a vajayjay, right? NeNe Leakes is a superhero for me. I will watch that show. I will sit through the dumb fights and I just hope with every episode. That's what I have Nia do. I just have her, you know, I kind of listen and I'll walk in and out of the room and I just wait for her to slap the shit out of somebody. Is my favorite. She grabs their hair and they don't know how to fight. It's just the funniest fucking thing. She knows how to fight, though. Like I said, she could kick my ass in her big fucking ghetto heels. And there isn't a goddamn. And she would talk to me as she did it, like Ali. And there wouldn't be a fucking thing I could do about it. But that shit was hilarious. Just bought a car. Cash money. Fucking used car. Hey, haters. Nobody's hating. Nobody's hating. All right. Did I just say nobody's hating? No, I feel like a douche. All right, let's get to the fucking advice and all that bullshit this week. What do we got here? What do we got? What am I? I'm 50 minutes into this thing. All right. Only I would follow up a heartfelt story about playing Carnegie Hall with talking about some reality show star. I'm slapping the shit out of some women's. All right, let's do some dilemmas for the week. All right. All right. These are actually getting more and more evolved. A lot of them were sexual or just disgusting, very sophomoric. So please try to expand these things because, like I said, all of yours initially were all incestuous and I wasn't going to do those. And then it just became gross out stuff and sex shit, which is still good at this point. I have no problem, but like I want a couple ones like this one. This is a great one. Here's a dilemma. Would you rather give up football or socks? Ugh. Dude, that is the hardest dilemma that I've been presented with. I hate wearing shoes or sneakers without socks. I hate when your feet get hot and they start sticking to the goddamn sole. And every time you take a step, part of your foot comes up and then it just slaps back down again. Your goddamn shoes start stinking. So that's basically, would you rather give up quality of life or the sport you love? And that would mean I couldn't go to football games in November or December. I'm not wearing any socks. I think I might have to flip a coin on this one. I think I'd have to give up. Would I give up football? Because I could watch all the other sports. Oh, but that's the fucking manliest of them all, other than hockey. Oh, you fucking cunt. You know what? Do I got a coin? I'm going to go to the fucking coin right now. I'm going to flip the coin. How about I flip my cell phone? Who gives a shit? I'm getting rid of this in 2 weeks. All right, screen side up, I give up socks. Backside up, I give up football. And there we go. Screen side up, I give up socks. Oh, God, that would suck. Could I at least wear leg warmers? Oh, Jesus. That's fucking brutal. A no-sock-wearing football-watching jackass. That's what I would be. And I'd have stinky shoes, and that would affect the level of pussy I got. Or at the very least, if I'm in a fucking relationship, it would really make her consider cheating on me. Or just breaking up with me. I don't care how much money you make. If you have stinky shoes, that's, you know, a woman's only going to put up with that for so long. Ugh. Be that guy in a flight who couldn't take off his fucking shoes. All right, you son of a bitch. That was a good one. All right, would you rather be caught cheating or catch your significant other cheating? Depends on what kind of a relationship I'm in. If I want to get out of it, I'd rather catch them cheating. If I love the person, oh, God. Would you rather break her heart or have your heart broken? You motherfuckers are good this week. I got to go selfish. I'm going selfish. Fuck that. I would never be able to get over it. A woman can get over it. A guy can't. Not saying all women. We can't get over that. I can't get over the fact that somebody entered your fucking body. What did I do? I just stuck my dick in somebody. It didn't mean anything. I don't know why. I sound like fucking Ray. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why. Come on. I'll clip the grass. Why did I fuck her? I apologize for that hacky impression. Yeah, I'd much rather be caught cheating. I think it's more socially acceptable that I've cheated. I think that it's more socially acceptable that the woman forgives you. I just don't think it's... Hey, Nia, what's going on? Come on in. Lay down here next to the wall. Here's one for you. You came in right during a nice dilemma. I don't have another microphone for you here.
Oh, Jesus.
So here's one. Here's a dilemma for you. Would you rather be caught cheating or catch your significant other cheating? Oh, I see. That's a good one. I said I went selfish. I'd rather be caught cheating. Because I could never handle the fact that someone else, you know, stuck their ding-a-ling in you.
I would rather catch you cheating.
You'd rather catch me cheating? Yeah. Oh, you're an angel. Why? Because you don't want the guilt? Because you know what? That I'd fucking dump your ass?
What?
Why? Why don't I just ask why?
Why would I rather? Yeah, I would rather be in that situation than be caught cheating.
Because you're an angel. You'd rather, you don't want to be a piece of shit.
Exactly.
Okay. You're just a better human being than I am. I thought you were giving me the green light. I saw you waving me around third base. All right.
Would you like the green light?
You know what? Every couple of years. But you know what? You could be in the other room, and if it sounded like we were going too far, you could be like, hey. None of that. None of that.
Okay, good to know.
All right, here we go. I just saw a good one. All right, here's one for you. Would you rather be fluent in all languages or master every musical instrument?
Ooh.
Would you rather be able to talk to the world?
Yeah, I think fluent. Fluent in all languages. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
All right, I'm going selfish again.
Yeah, I knew you'd want
to. I'd be a master of every musical instrument,
yeah,
and then
like
I would
Prince.
I would communicate through my instruments, and I would get Bangladesh pussy. If you can play the guitar, fuck that.
Bangladesh pussy.
Yeah, you can get laid all over the world if you can play a guitar. And then if you're singing in a different language, like right now, mm-hmm, as much as you love me, mm-hmm, if some French guy was out there with a guitar and he was going, Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, you would be fucking looking out the window.
I would.
Hi, Jacques.
And then I'd be like, bonjour.
Yes, you would. Bonjour.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Jesus. And we just exposed ourselves for being surrounded by water over here in the Americas. We don't know anything. Unless you sang it, we don't know it. All right, let's do one more dilemma. All right, Bill, if your pasty ass ever got sent to prison, would you wait to get shanked or just hang yourself in your cell? You know what I love? I love that they didn't even entertain the fact that I could somehow survive in there.
I think you could actually survive in there. I do. I think you have enough anger so that if someone were to fuck with you, you would, like, you know, really mess them up in front of everybody, thus gaining the respect. I think you'd obviously make everyone laugh. I would be afraid of the Aryan Nation wanting to recruit you.
All right. Hang on a second. First of all, you obviously haven't watched any of those National Geographics behind prison walls.
No, but I did watch.
I'll tell you this. If I went to white-collar prison where you get to play ping pong with Bernie Madoff, I think I could actually survive in that one. But I'll tell you, no. I actually – every guy, that's their biggest – is their biggest fucking fear, going to jail and becoming somebody's bitch. All right? That, like, if they ever –
You already are
if
bitch.
They – oh, look at you. Look at you. You think you got me fucking wrapped around your finger? Oh. See that? See what they do? When you finally tell them that you love them, then they throw it in your fucking face.
What do you mean finally tell me?
What is wrong with you? You were so cute 5 seconds ago. Now I just cute. I want to mush your face into the rug. Anyways. Okay, if I was in a white-collar prison, I could survive that. But
yeah.
Okay, so the biggest fear every guy – like if they ever did the Family Feud, mm-hmm, what is the biggest fear a guy has? And the guy goes, getting raped and being somebody's prison bitch. Getting raped, being some prison bitch. Dang, it'd be number one answer. Do you want to play or you want to pass? Let's play, motherfucker. And then coming home and seeing my wife sucking my best friend's dick. Okay, good answer. Coming home, seeing your wife sucking your best friend's dick. Dang, number two. And then you always have the one weirdo in your family.
What else do men
fear? Okay, what is the number one fear that a man can have in life? Okay, I'm gonna say, oh God, you guys used all the good ones. Having somebody borrow a tool and not put it back where it belongs.
Oh God.
And then we'd have to sit there and be like, you know, that dumb shit. Hey, good answer, hey, good answer.
Good try.
All right.
What are men's fears? Not being able to get it up.
Not being able to get it up. Okay, mm-hmm. getting raped in prison, being that person. Having to tie off your shirt at the waist and be like, hi, Brutus. Being that guy. Not being able to get it up. Mm-hmm. not being able to provide for your family. What else? Well, let's just do me.
Women.
Women not fucking, your marriage failing. Then there's overlap ones that you guys fear. I don't know. Let's not turn this into some psychology thing. I don't need to do this. I'm trying to be funny here. All right? I don't know. Let's get back to this thing. You know what? Something. There's a question for you guys this week. Give me your let's do the family fucking feud. Top 10. Your top 10 fears. I want to hear them. And then maybe we'll do like a little survey. And then I'll get sued by that show. And then they'll realize I'm not making any money on the podcast. All right, Bill, if your pasty ass ever got sent to prison, would you wait to get shanked or just hang yourself in your cell? I couldn't kill myself. I don't know what I would do. I would join the Aryan Nation. That's what I would do.
Jesus.
I'd have to fucking, I got to do something.
There's got to be something.
In the cafeteria, I'd take one of the plastic forks and I'd carve a swastika right between my eyes, just
like
Charles Manson. Shave my head. I don't know. And I would just walk up Sieg Heiland to all those fucking dudes and just try to be like, yeah, these fucking Jews.
Gang.
Look at those goddamn Puerto Ricans over there. They're Mexicans. Whatever. I don't care. I would say over the top racist shit, and that's what I would do.
And then you get beat up by everybody else.
Yeah, but I'm already going to get the shit kicked out of me. Come on, Nene. Come on. I'm in good shape. I'm exotic with my red hair. I'd be a little blue-eyed bitch in there. I'd have to do. I have no.
You're about as exotic as a grilled cheese sandwich.
Hey, out here, that's fucking hilarious. Out here, I am, but in prison, I immediately become like some Brazilian bitch just walking down. Like,
you don't think there's other blue-eyed white guys in prison? Possibly with red hair.
Red-haired guys. I have watched those. Sit over here near the mic. I have watched those things repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Those prison things. I have never seen anybody who looks like me. Occasionally, I saw one red-headed dude. He was a little fucking, 12-year-old kid, and he killed another, like, fucking four-year-old. There was almost too young to kill things I watched.
Oh, God.
And he had really weird ears.
That's why he did it.
No. He looked like that. Somebody boxed his ear, like
he had cauliflower ear.
He looked like the Hulk boxed his ears, but they didn't become cauliflower. They just got dented on. He had dented ears. So
he's probably abused.
Long story short, he was a little redhead, and so he went in there. He fucking killed this kid, and it was so horrific. They sent him to a real person prison. And he
big boy prison.
Yeah, big boy, not the daycare. And he fucking he shaved his head.
Yeah,
he got to. You can't walk around looking. It's outie doody time. Who's gonna fuck me in the ass? Is it your turn or his? There's nothing I can do. I'm gonna be a racist. You know, they just get. I would just have to do. I got to fall in with somebody. You know. I can't pull off the I'm down homeboy shit, you know?
I always wonder how I would do in a women's prison. I don't think I'd do very well. I don't think they appreciate, you know, snappy, clever, nerd-like behavior.
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't last a day.
No, you would be staring at a twat in about minutes.
Yeah.
Some real manly-looking chick who's running shit. And then her bottom bitch would get jealous after you're done doing that.
Scratch my face off.
Scratch your fucking face
off.
They
don't like pretty girls.
Yeah, but you're a fucking psycho though. You're a fucking psycho. You throw a good punch. You just have to commit to it. Your problem is just like me. You've never crossed that fucking line. You just never did. You know, you just never did. So you're so not fucking prepared. And not to mention, I had somebody one time. We were watching the UFC. I've told this before on the podcast. We were watching the UFC, and this is just one of those guys, St. Pierre, one of these guys, just physical specimen, standing up, throwing hands, kicking on the ground, choke you out. Just no matter where you went, as long as you didn't have a fucking weapon, this guy would fuck you up. Knees, elbows, right? Goddamn, anything he could throw at you'd fuck you up. And I was joking, go, look at these guys, unrapeable. Fucking that, like they got to that level.
Unrapeable.
Yeah, that's the highest level belt you can get in martial arts is fucking unrapeable. And I was talking to this dude, he's like, nah, they'd still get a guy like that. I go, how? He goes, yeah, you know, they gang up on you. They put shit in your food. They drug your food. If they really want to get you, they'll drug you. And I drug your food. And I can't even tell you how deflated of a feeling I felt when they told me that even the champions of the UFC, if they wanted to, they could get to them. That's how fucking hardcore prison is. So, what would I don't know what I would do.
No. You know what we'd have to do? We have to do something so crazy and like violent that they put us in solitary.
Yeah,
so
but you know what I would do? I would attack a guard.
That's what I would do.
There you go. Because they're not gonna rape me. They're just gonna beat me up. I'll take the beat down. But then even then, if I attack the guard for half a second, they'd be like, oh, look at this crazy son of a bitch. But then when I started making those little girl noises when I took my first Rodney King beating, oh my God, I would be stop it, all right, when I was doing that, I'd get my ass kicked and then I'd get raped when I came out.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No one is unrapeable.
You know something? I think we might end the podcast on that. I think we learned something today. In this crazy world we live in, people, you have to tell people you love them. You have to enjoy every day because nobody is unrapeable. It's one of the harshest truths. That's what ends your childhood, the day you realize that. This is really, you know something? That's so fucking true, it's not even funny. We got to end something happier than that. I told this really nice story about doing Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. And how awesome was it?
It was amazing. Yeah. You got a standing ovation when you came out as well as when you left.
I told him. It was fucking unbelievable. Greatest.
I've never seen that before, actually.
I don't know. I can't even talk about it. All right. Overrated. I can't talk about it. All right. Overrated. Relationships. Do I really want to read this one with you here? Come near the microphone and be a friggin' professional when this unprofessional show?
I know, you're just sitting
Why
down here with no
are you
furniture.
Wearing moccasins?
They're my slippers.
They're moccasins.
Yeah, moccasin slippers.
Ooh, hiya, hiya, hiya. You got a little Indian blood in you, don't you?
I don't.
Yes, you
really.
Do.
I have like 1/16.
What do you got? Black
something.
Feet in you? You get it? Nothing? I get nothing on that?
That was stupid.
You know what?
What?
Go fuck yourself. Here we go. Relationships. So, sure, they can be good, but are they ever great? Every married guy I know reminisces about his days as a single man. Married guys warn single guys not to get into relationships. They warn guys with girlfriends to never, under any circumstances, get married. This is all true. When you're single, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Whatever you want without first... Let me get this closer. Without first filtering your decisions through the desires of a chick who probably doesn't even know what she wants most of the time and is motivated by the worldview of Sex in the City.
Wow, this person sounds like a real prize.
Yeah, but this is true, though. This isn't all women. A lot of women are fucking idiots, just like guys. Wouldn't you say most guys are fucking idiots?
I would, actually.
And aren't most women, aren't most people fucking idiots? Listen, we're all rapable. But when we're talking...
All I know is that no one is unrapeable. All
okay.
right, let's continue.
Okay. And I am as exotic as a grilled cheese sandwich. I think that might be an instant classic. There wasn't even tomato in that sandwich, was there? Even when the chicks get what they think they want, they're usually still miserable. That's how stupid most of them are. All right, now you're in. Now he's in my school. He's in my quad. I like this guy. You're never going to make them happy, so why even try? Not being constrained by a relationship is one of the greatest things of all time. It's a man's world. Women need more. Women need men more than men need women. Most men can thrive alone. Most women can't. He's young. You can tell he's young. He hasn't. Like, women are still looking at him.
He's a fucking idiot is what he is.
No, he isn't. He's learning. Mm-hmm. I was this guy. Mm-hmm. Then you realize at some point you're old and women don't care anymore. So you got to grab one and just hang on to him and drag him down with you. Most women can't. Ask any honest bisexual girl and she'll like you tell you that she wants to end up with a man. Jesus, this guy just keeps... Every time I think he's gone as far as he's going to go, he keeps going. I love him. Enjoy being single. Unless you're a total fucking failure of a man, you'll almost always be able to get a girlfriend if you really want one. Realize, yeah, if you're past a certain age, dude, there's a certain amount of money you have to be making for that to continue to happen. And there's a fucking sadness to that life that I can't even begin to describe. Realize what a blessing your freedom is and never allow desperation to put you in chains. He's making some good points here. He definitely has some issues with women.
Some issues but, with women?
But there's a lot of truth in that, Nia.
Enjoy dying alone, asshole.
Hey.
Well?
Listen, basically what you just said was that you're a dumb girl.
Why?
Because that's what he was attacking.
What do you mean?
Is your world? Oh, we were almost out without an argument.
Why am I dumb?
Because he's attacking women whose worldview comes from Sex and the City.
Okay.
So somehow you got offended by that.
First of all, he's not just attacking women whose worldview is Sex and the City.
I think he is.
He's attacking all women. Look at read what he said.
Oh, I know. He was just
didn't say some women.
He was just being silly. He's just being silly.
No.
Ah, you're right.
So
you're right.
Fuck that shit. Fuck it.
Look, you know.
Fuck you.
No, his mother never hugged him. He's got issues.
That's not our fault.
What do you mean? Don't drag me into this. I relate to this guy.
I'm saying our as women. I'm speaking as women.
Well, right why now. Don't you just speak for yourself, you fucking delusional jackass? Who elected you?
You did. I'm sitting here, aren't I?
Well, you know, I didn't say to represent all women's.
I'm not representing all women's, but I think I can say with
underwears.
Some clarity that most smart women who see this would be like, oh, fuck yourself, you douche.
All right. Well,
can I just make a comment about the whole married versus unmarried thing? The grass is always greener on the other side. Single people who are alone look at couples and they get a little twinge of like, oh, that's nice. I wish I had somebody to come home to at night that has my back no matter what. That's what you're missing, you short-sighted moron, is that you've got somebody who's there with you, who's going to take care of you, who's going to love you and protect you and have your back. It's not just about like being with someone just to be with someone.
We got it. Listen.
Why can't I respond to this person in the way that I want to?
Because you're being mean. This podcast.
I'm being mean.
This podcast.
This email is ridiculous.
This guy's crying out for help.
Ugh. Whatever. Fine. Go on.
This podcast is not about being mean and taking shots at people who can't defend themselves.
I thought that's exactly what it was.
Took you long enough to figure that out. All right. No, but there's a great truth in what he's saying here is that a lot of people just jump in a relationship. And it's like relationships are fucking difficult.
Yes.
Okay. So you better pick the right person or you're going to be fucking miserable. So you are better off to be single and lonely rather than just being in some shit so you got somebody to fucking make brownies with. That's what he was trying to say.
Yeah, that's true, but he didn't say that. He ended up saying that most chicks are going to be miserable anyway, and they all have this stupid worldview. So
that's
why
true.
Even bother?
Most women are going to be miserable, and they're never going to be fucking happy. Okay?
And what are you basing this on?
You know something? You guys always say a good man is hard to find. That works both fucking ways.
I understand.
Well,
that.
Then that's this is what. Well, this motherfucker hasn't found the one yet. So he's going, he's dating
so
a bunch
he's
of...
he's lashing out at everybody because he can't seem to figure out how to make a relationship work. And he can't find the value in the relationship, so automatically it's not valuable.
First of all, the only person lashing out is you right now.
Well, I'm annoyed at
this. You've completely lost your temper. There's a guy here, he writes in, he's looking for a little bit of goddamn guidance.
No,
he wants some advice.
For your approval, that's what
he got it, he's fucking hilarious. all right, let's wrap this up here. All right. Okay. Oh, by the way, YouTube video of the week. I actually forgot to send this to my guy. Speaking of a man's world, I just remembered that. If you want to see one of the greatest fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Go see. Would you please talk into the mic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember that song by Yellow? Oh, Jesus. I wanted to do that. I wanted to do the yellow cover
yeah.
instead of going, oh, yeah. I was going to go, oh, Jesus.
How can we do that?
Well, we'd have to pay for the rights of it.
Can't some crazy online hacker figure out
yes.
a way to do
somebody,
it?
Yes, somebody do that, all right? I'm going to give you a clean version of Oh, Jesus that you can then fuck with in your own audio way, all right? Oh, Jesus. Do you need a longer one for that one part where he goes, oh, I'll give you a longer one. Oh, Jesus. This podcast has gone off the rails.
That was good.
All right, underrated. And yeah, one take. Underrated, showing off. What's the – under? This is the same guy. Underrated, showing off. What's the best that can happen? You blow people's fucking minds. Look like a god among mortals and an alpha fucking male. What's the big fear? Totally fucking up? Why? That can still be awesome. Still be awesome. Look at Evel Knievel, one of the greatest show-offs of all time. He fucked up big several times. If you totally fuck up while trying to show off, at least you give people a hilarious story of how you failed while trying to be a badass. The worst thing that you can do is only succeed a little bit. If you're going to show off, either nail it or fuck it up completely. There can be no middle ground. You either need to blow people's fucking minds or you need to give them a hilarious failure anecdote. Either way, act like a man. If you nail it, look smug and cocky as fuck like the superior human that you are. If you fail big, laugh your ass off and still act cocky. At least you tried. Most of them are too cowardly to even try it.
I agree with that.
Yeah. See this guy? I'm telling you right now, this guy could chat you up in a bar in a fucking second.
Nope.
Same guy. No, it's because you know all that other stuff.
No,
yeah, he could. Yeah, he could. Yeah, he could.
I have a good bullshit detector.
Nah, bullshit. No, I'm saying that you'd want... I'm not even going to get into it. All right, overrated. Andrew Luck.
That's right. Give up.
No, because I would fucking... it's not worth it. Everyone, you know, it's not worth it. It's 4th-and-2. I know I could get it. I'm up by 37. I don't give a fuck. The YouTube video of the week. This is the last thing I'm going to end right with right now. YouTube video of the week. James Brown singing It's a Man's World with Pavarotti. One of the most gangster things you're ever going to fucking watch. And I never used the word gangster, but it's totally, totally necessary. And it marries.
With Pavarotti it was?
It was fucking on. It basically marries all the cool fucking black street shit with all the Italian mob movies. Just, it's the greatest mashup ever, and it's not a mashup. These guys are old school. Rather than having some guy do it on a fucking laptop, they went out and did the shit themselves. And you see James Brown at one point, after he sings all that shit about it being a man's world, and then Pavarotti starts singing that opera over the top of it. At one point, even James Brown just shakes his head like, this is the shit. This is the shit. And if you get James Brown to do that, forget it. It's the greatest thing ever. So check that out. That's it for this week. That's the podcast. Once again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you to anybody who ever came out to my shows. The entire time, my phone's ringing, the entire time that I've ever done stand-up that helped lead up to that night at Carnegie. And thank you to everybody who came out to the show. And everybody who works with me and fucking fights it out with the promoters and all that type of shit. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I will never forget it. Best fucking week ever. That's it. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.